On this week's episode of the Wealth Collective podcast, we take a look at some recent studies revolving around how much is needed for a comfortable retirement. We help you decide how much you need and how to figure this out. Enjoy.
Everything we talk about on today's podcast is general advice only because we don't know your individual personal situation. Before you act on anything we've spoken about, you should chat to your financial advisor, and if you don't have one, feel free to reach out to us. Now, on to today's show.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Wealth Collective podcast. I'm Zach Masters, and as always, I'm joined by Pete Pennicott. Pete, welcome.
Hey, Zach. Feeling good?
Yeah. What have you been up to? What's been happening?
Just a bit of backyard renovation.
So nice. What are you doing?
Just excavation. So goodness knows what I'm going to find. So, moving dirt from pile to pile at the moment. So back's feeling good. Arms are feeling strong.
Strong? Yeah.
No, jeez. Not really. No, feeling every bit of my age. So what about yourself?
Not too much. But just been keeping pretty quiet. I think the weather seemed to be nice on the weekend. We had a little bit of nicer weather, and now it's gone back to pretty bad. So fingers crossed that we can start to get out of this, and spring's coming soon.
Spring, footy finals.
Everything's happening.
Garden's going to be gone. Gangbusters as well. So my lawn's looking like absolute trash out the back. So looking forward to the warmer weather. We're not here to talk about the weather.
No, we're not.
Or the seasons.
So what we thought we'd talk about today is that fairly recently there's been a few consumer bodies or agencies that have been putting together how much money you need for retirement and what a normal, in inverted quotation marks, retirement looks like for a lot of Australians. So Super Consumers Australia, so that's a partner of choice, which you would have heard of, has put out some targets and savings targets as a what they say is a solid rule of thumb for what's needed to maintain living standards upon retirement. So what we thought we'd talk about today is talk about these numbers and then how it relates to the type of clients that we see and how that these numbers that a lot of these agencies can put out are not necessarily what would be appropriate for a lot of the people we deal with. Is that what you see normally, Pete?
No, it's not. I don't think it's even the people we deal with. I think just
anyone.
Is it like, try and find me an average human? Like, that's, I don't think there is an average. So I think basing your decisions too much off sort of rule of thumb calculations can be dangerous, because you might leave yourself, I guess, either, or, you know, overdoing it or underdoing it. The law of averages says there's a lot of dispersion from that sort of that central average. So it'd be interesting to sort of peel this back. I actually haven't seen these numbers. So I know you've sort of given me about 10 minutes preparation for this. So.
Yeah, and I think that's like the interesting thing is I was talking to clients last week, and they went to see a property specialist, and so their retirement goals were a certain amount per year, and he was like, oh, why do you need this much to them? Like, you don't need this much money. But it's like, retirement shouldn't be about that. It's about what you want in retirement. It shouldn't be based upon what people feel is right, or what other people might say is, oh, you don't need that much, or anything like that.
I think it's important to think, like, what is retirement to you? And I think the traditional notion of retirement's been shaken a little bit, so and not just post-pandemic. I think the trend is we're living longer. So longevity is, well, it's a beautiful thing when you're going out under your own steam, but it also presents a massive challenge for people transitioning and in retirement. It means you need to have more resources available for longer because you're going to spend more money for longer. Yep. So, it is the modern dilemma that we're facing, and it's not just individuals. Governments are struggling with this challenge as well. So you've got to make sure you're not going to be 100% reliant on age pension as well. So
yeah, very much so. So the Super Consumers Australia, or SCA, so they put out their numbers. So they're low spending solo pre-retirees, so singles, age 55 to 59, and low spending, they say, is $34,000 a year. So all of these take into consideration that you're earning the age pension. So they say you need $88,000 save to be able to hit that $34,000 a year. For medium spenders, so they say $1,692 per fortnight, so $44,000 a year, they would need to have saved $301,000. And what they consider as a high spender is someone who's splashing $2,115 a fortnight or $55,000 a year. So they're saying that then you'd need $745,000 saved in your total retirement savings for someone aged 55 to 59 and a single. These targets that they use are based on ABS data on retiree spending and assume retirees own their own home outright and not paying rent or a mortgage. So baseline, you haven't heard these figures before, Pete. What are those? Is there anything that stands out to you on that when you first look at it?
No, look, I think like all those studies are generally done on a pretty, pretty consistent methodology. So similar to how the age pension is calculated, you see they generally hug around what the age pension is as well.
Yeah,
so
the baseline level of retirement is usually just slightly above the age pension.
So I think it's that thing of just putting your lens on it and going, does this match my current spending? Because I think the more accurate way to understand what you need in retirement is to look at how do you live your life?
Yeah.
What do you spend on a weekly basis? What are those big lumpy expenses that you have? So, you know, you've got to factor in rates, rego, you know, insurances. Those are not things that happen every week. So you need to go, okay, what are they? So that running that household budget and going, hey, well, I've got more time on my hands. What are the lifestyle things that I'm going to want to spend on? Do I want to take friends out and go out for dinner, or do I want to go on a holiday, or sort of do I need to upgrade a car? They're all the things that sort of give you a more accurate representation of what you will spend, and that's how these numbers are calculated. They're just done on a basket of people and sort of who might not look anything like yourself.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing as well, is a lot of the time what people tend to miss when they're doing their retirement planning and working out how much they need is there might be other goals that you have that come in the space where you're retired. So a common one is, you know, gifting for children, or there may be, you know, helping kids with the first home deposit. Now that's getting out later and later that people are buying their first home. So the chance is that as a parent, you may be in the retirement stage of your life when that is looking to happen. So have you factored that into retirement plan?
I'd say just spend it all yourself. Like, what do you mean? You've raised them, you've provided for them. Surely
that's enough.
Maybe they can buy you a new house. Maybe that's the new strategy we should start for sort of getting out there.
Yeah, exactly. But those are the things that are often missed. Like, how often do you need a new car?
Me?
No, anyone.
I thought you were looking at me. I'm pretty light on in terms of rotating my cars. Well, I don't know, once every 5 years or so, I'd say.
Yeah.
As soon as stuff starts going wrong.
But these are the types of things that are that over and above just how much you would spend each fortnight. So it's hard to, you can't just go like, oh yeah, that's fine. I spend about $50,000 a year on bills and just general lifestyle expenses, but then that mightn't take into account everything else. So what are some of the tools that I guess you use, Pete, to kind of, when you sit down with people who are struggling to come up with this number or try to come to this annual figure of how much they should be or want to be spending?
Yeah, I think the steps are pretty clear. Like, you got to do a budget. So you got to do a budget and do a budget looking forward to what it might look like. And it's all hypothetical. So give yourself some room and flexibility to get it wrong, because this is something you're going to need to review over time, because it's always going to change. You know, we all thought we spent X amount last year, and lo and behold, we spend a lot more this year because of inflation. Yep. So things out of our control, our lifestyle doesn't change, but the cost of our lifestyle does change for a variety of different factors. So that'd be the starting point, number one. And then try and understand, like, what sort of health are you in? Mm. You know, doing a bit of an assessment of going, like, how active are you going to be in retirement, and what is that going to look like? So then you start to sort of build a case of going, this is how many years I need to sort of prepare for. So it might be the first 10 years you're going to be more active, so you're going to be spending more, and then it's going to drop down for the next decade and the next decade after that.
But then do things like aged care costs or health costs and things like that come into it as well? Or?
Well, they're all the things you need to try and budget for, but not to an extent of going to crimp your lifestyle, you know, now for something that may or may not happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you own your own home, and that's got to hopefully be a goal for a lot of Australians to sort of, by the time they enter retirement, make sure their main residence, principal place of residence, the family home, is unencumbered, so it's debt free.
Yeah.
That gives you a lot of options from an aged care perspective of using the asset value there, that equity, to actually be a funding mechanism for that.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the assets, then there's obviously sort of the government placements that you can access as well. So that's what we've been doing. And then we've got some sophisticated tools that, yeah, in the back end, back room of these is just an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
So you're sort of just calculating year by year, what do you need? What growth are we expecting on your assets? And then I'm talking about your investment assets here. Mm. What are you drawing down from where? What's the sort of average sort of increase in terms of cost of living, your lifestyle? And then just mapping that out year by year for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
These computer systems do this remarkably well very quickly. So you sort of just make sure you're putting all the different variables in there. And it starts to sort of give you a stress test for going, how long is this likely to last under different scenarios? And there's heaps of these available on a lot of the super fund websites. You've got Money Smart's got a retirement calculator as well. So there's a lot of tools out there that you can do at a pretty high level.
Yeah.
And that should give you a basis of going, am I on track? And then your fallback option is, well, can you survive off the age pension, be it single, couple, depending on your sort of personal circumstance? And that's how you sort of start to build a sort of a retirement spending and sort of, income strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the good thing about these SCA report and the ASFAs, which is the Association of Super Funds of Australia, a nice tongue twister. They also put out the reports and they do theirs based on, in inverted commas, the comfortable lifestyle and different things like that. It's good to have an idea of basic numbers of like, okay, this can generate that on a pretty consistent basis. But it's important also to not fall into going, okay, if they say this is a modest retirement and I want a modest retirement, then I need to be hitting that, because that shouldn't be.
Well, it's just an adjective. Yeah. It's like the don't get me started on sort of descriptive words like
comfortable fund. Comfortable lifestyle
means different things to different people. Yeah. So I think it's that thing of going, know your number, using that number as your guide for how much you need to have saved. Because if you're spending, you know, $100,000 a year, and that's what you need to safely spend and enjoy your lifestyle.
Mm.
Well, you look at these numbers and you've got a few hundred thousand in retirement assets. And, you know, we're talking about the other thing, important note, is retirement assets are not just super.
Yeah.
So they're your investment assets that you can draw down upon to fund your lifestyle. So it may be investment properties, it may be shares held personally, cash, term deposits, and super. That's what you need to really understand, because if you've got a few hundred thousand, you're not going to sort of last very long.
Yeah, and I think that obviously the earlier that you start to plan for it and you can do these calculators as soon as possible, then you can the better chance you are of being on track.
Mm.
Because a lot of the time, some people can leave this until 55, 60 when you're getting close to it and going, oh, I don't know, like I think this is how much I want, and you're not necessarily close. Mm. Where there's definitely lots of things you can be doing earlier on to start to get you closer towards this.
Yeah, stuff. Well, let's talk about that. So I think the one thing to know is compulsory super is unlikely to get you there.
Yeah.
So if you're a reasonable spender and you have a lifestyle where you enjoy some of the finer things in life, you know, not all caviar and sort of private jets, but just enjoy a reasonable lifestyle, I think you do need to, it's highly probable you're going to need to put away more than the base amount.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to get to 12%. I still think that's going to fall short for most people.
Yeah.
So knowing that, the sooner you can start either making, you know, deductible contributions, salary sacrifice, so that's where we can sort of boost your super and still get a tax benefit, or after-tax contributions if it's lumpier, that's a win. So that'd be the first thing that I'd be looking at. What about you?
Yeah, I think the thing is to look at how your super's invested. So especially for younger people, you just get a lot of the time when you set up a super fund, you get put in that balanced option. Now that balanced option might be appropriate for your risk profile, but it might not. So if you're a growth investor or a high growth investor and you're going into balanced, over time that will say that you're losing a couple of percentage points each year on average.
Yeah.
Which that compounded for 30, 40 years can be a massive difference in your total balance at the end of the day. So that's often when people are talking about how like an Australian super balance versus a Host Plus balanced. It's not necessarily a fair comparison, because the amount they've got allocated towards growth can be very different. So I think you've got to look at what you're invested in and try and figure out, is this the most appropriate option for me. Because yeah, it might be appropriate that you're holding 30% of defensive assets at, you know, age 30 in your superannuation. It might be as well. But you've got to be looking at that and seeing, yeah, how does this impact? Because a lot of those calculators you can start to do have gone, like, okay, what happens if I hit 6.5% instead of 5%? Like, what difference does that make at my total balance at the end of the day? And that can be quite a big difference.
Yeah. The other one I'd say is spend within your means. Like, that is the easiest way to sort of guarantee yourself.
Yeah.
Or as close to guarantee. There's no guarantees. financial success. You know, consistently spend below your means and make your money work for you. So, yeah, as young as you can possibly start, like, if it wasn't yesterday, today. Tomorrow, start putting money away and making it work for you. So it can go into super, it can go into investments, can also go towards debt reduction.
Yeah.
But just make sure it's doing more than nothing.
Yeah.
You know, sticking it in a bank account earning zero is not great. So if it's sitting in a, you know, an everyday account, put in an online save or a term deposit, or better yet, an offset account.
Yep.
If you've got a mortgage, or does it go into super? Does it go into investments? You keep doing that consistently, and it means that you're putting more and more money away from yourself. And it's almost not, think of it, if saving's boring to you, think of it as investing in your future self.
Yeah.
And your future lifestyle. And that might give you that inspiration to do it, because if you keep spending beyond your means, or you do it consistently for a prolonged period, it's just going to be harder at the end. You're going to have to do so much more heavy lifting. Let compound interest do its thing.
Yeah, and I think that comes back down to, like, what we often talk about is the goals-based, you know, what goals have we got, what's important to us. When you realize that this is what you need in retirement, and this is what's, like, these types of savings and foregoing certain things in the current state will help you get there, that makes it easier to save and invest in the moment rather than just spend, because you have no idea of what the future looks like or how much you'll need or anything like that. So the earlier you can plan and get those numbers, I think, is a lot better.
Definitely.
Is there anything else that you'd leave listeners with before we wrap up today's episode?
No, I think that's good. I think, yeah, hopefully people are inspired to take a look at their finances again, start thinking about retirement.
Jump into the calculators online, find a few ones on there. Yeah, start to do some of those numbers, I reckon.
No, very good. Well, enjoy. Happy retirement planning, everyone.
Yes, as always, if you've got any questions, email us at connect@picada.com.au. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Cheers.